Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the third week of our series called Live Again, and this week, Pastor Josh explains why it's important for us to get up and get moving. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, everybody. You guys doing good today? Good? Good to see you guys. That's a little quiet. I expected just a little more out of you, okay? Can I get just a little more out of you? That's good. That's what I like to hear, all right, man? I'm glad you guys are with us. I'm glad we got a bunch of people joining online right now. Would y'all do me a favor? Welcome everybody online. Let them know that they are loved. We love you guys and are thankful that you are joining in with us today. If you're online, we would love to connect with you a little bit further, especially if you're new with us. You'll see a number scrolling across the bottom of the screen. You can connect with us that way. If you're on campus here and you're new with us, man, let me challenge you at the end of service, if you haven't already, to stop by the Connect Corner. We've got a gift for you there. We'd love to get to know you just a little bit better, give you a t-shirt, a coupon for our coffee bar, and stuff like that. All right, so now I got a lot to cover in a little bit of time. But before I do that, I got to give you a heads up of what's coming next week. All right, I got to warn you, because I just want you to know next week we start a new series. And it is quite possible that next week I'm going to have the opportunity to make every one of you mad at me. I got people clapping. I got people, I don't get that. You want me to make you mad? I'm going to tell you the truth. Oh, I like that. Okay? Because it is my job. I know that every time I get in front of you to speak in such a way that causes you to think and causes and allows the Holy Spirit, not causes, because I can't cause the Holy Spirit to do anything, but allows the Holy Spirit to move in your life. So that's my goal. It's what I'm going to do today. But next week, I just got to let you know, the reason I might upset you is because, well, we're 1 month away from our elections, all right? And a lot of people are thinking red, and a lot of people are thinking blue, and it's on everybody's mind. And what I'm going to challenge us to do is to think different. Rather than thinking red or thinking blue, I want us to think about Jesus as King and his kingdom. Because if we recognize Jesus as King and his kingdom, then that's going to change your whole perspective, and it's going to change everything, all right? So we're going to talk a lot about that next week. I'm not going to talk a lot about politics. My job is not to talk about politics. My job is to tell you about Jesus and his word, okay? But we are in a season where I know it's on everybody's mind. So what I want to do is make sure that we're talking about things from a kingdom biblical perspective. So come back, because now you know, but also bring somebody with you. Because there's some people that want some clarity, all right? Now, again, not about parties, but about Jesus and about how to navigate life. And that's what I want to talk further about today, is I want us to help us understand how to navigate life. We're in this series. It's the end of this series. We got, this was a 3-week series. Our next series, again, which is called Think Different, is only a 2-week series. But in this series, Live Again, we're talking about this idea that we've been in a season where we're stressed out. We're in a season where there's a lot of worry. There's a lot of anxiety. It's a season where we're trying to figure out, how do I live again? How do I find life again? How do I breathe again and stand again? Those are some things that we've been talking about. And we've been looking at one story and one story only, and we've just been kind of picking it apart and then allowing other scriptures to help us with that. And week one, we talked about how you can find life again in Jesus. Week two, we talked about how you can breathe again because of Jesus. And today I want you to hear simply that you can stand again because of Jesus. And to do that, I want to go right back into the text that I talked about last week. Now, if you weren't here, don't worry. I'll catch you up to speed. It's from a guy named Ezekiel. He was a prophet, or today we'd simply call him a preacher. And he lived about 2,500 years ago, and he was in a season where the Israelites, which was a nation, this Israelite nation, they had been walking away from God. So Ezekiel had told them that, hey, if you don't turn to God, some bad things are going to happen. There's going to be some consequences of your actions. And sure enough, they never came back to God, so there was consequences, and the Babylonian Empire came in and took them as slaves. Basically, the Babylonian Empire came in, took over Jerusalem, and then from there took the thousands of Israelites back to Babylonian as slaves. And in the midst of that, all of them were stressed out, all of them were worried, all of them thought life was over, and Ezekiel came and he shared with them a message from God, and he said, listen, I know it's bad. I know it's tough times right now. I know it doesn't look like you're gonna be able to live again, but I want you to know you're gonna be able to live again. And he did it by proclaiming a message about there were some bones, it was a vision that he received from God. There was this bones in this valley that all of a sudden they became skeletons, and then they got ligaments and tendons and muscles and skin, and then they got the breath of God, and then they stood up. And that's where I wanna pick up the story again. It says it this way. Excuse me. So I spoke this message as he had commanded me, and breath came into their bodies, and they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. If you remember, that's where we were last week, all right? And I talked about this verse, this idea of standing up. And then it goes a step further. It says this, then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Look at that. Look at that just a little bit further. All hope is gone. That the nation of Israel had been knocked down, where they'd been living life, they'd been living in their land, they had Jerusalem, everything seemed great. All of a sudden, they were knocked down. And as people, they said, all hope is gone. Our nation is finished. And maybe that's where you feel like you're at right now. Maybe you're in a season of life where you just feel like, man, all hope is gone. That there's been some health issues and I just feel like my hope is gone. That my marriage is falling apart, my hope is gone. That my job's not going the way I expected it to go, all hope is gone. That school's not panning out the way I thought school should pan out, and hope is gone. That maybe you're in a season due to health, due to finances, due to family situations, that you're sitting there and it just seems like the rug has been pulled out from under you. It seems like Satan has sucker punched you. It seems like you've fallen to the ground. You've been knocked down and you're sitting there saying, all hope is gone. You might feel that way, but I want you to know life isn't over. Life isn't over. In Christ, you can live again and you can stand again. In the midst of everything that was going on, all the Israelites, they're all slaves now. And they're like, it's over. Life is over. Hope is gone for me. Our nation is in trouble. It's over. But not everybody believed that. There's a bunch of people believe that, but not everybody believed that. And the people that didn't believe that was the people who still had faith in God. There were some guys that were alive during this time that I haven't talked about yet. Their names are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want to tell you a little bit of their story because they're found inside of this whole Babylonian captivity. They're found inside of this time where Ezekiel is proclaiming to the people that you can live again, that you can stand again, that you can breathe again. See, Daniel hadn't given up. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were all nobles, meaning they were wealthy. They might even have been living in the palace as part of the king's family. They had life really good. And then all of a sudden, the Babylonians came in and ransacked their town, their city, and took them away. So they went from being, you know, living as nobles to now they're over in Babylon as slaves. And as they're in Babylon as slaves, they were taken to a higher rank. that basically the King Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to pick out some young men who can basically be liaisons for us. Now they can talk between the Babylonians and the Israelites and communicate a message for us. And this servant of the king, he chose Daniel and Daniel's three friends. And he said, I want you to come over and live in the palace. And while you're living in the palace, I want you to eat, drink, and be merry. I want you to eat from the king's table. I want all the bacon you want, it's there. Oh, yeah. That sounds good to us. All right? All the pork you want, all the cake you want, all the wine you want, it's all there. You can have it all, Daniel. You can have it all. All your friends can have it. You can drink, eat, and be merry. Life is good. But when Daniel got over into the palace, he didn't forget God. Even though he'd been knocked down, even though he was a slave, he didn't forget God. He remembered that God said, I don't want you to eat bacon. I'm so glad we live in the New Testament times, y'all. Okay? And right now, some of you are like, I don't understand. Like, I don't have time to go there. But just trust me. All right? He knew that God had told him not to eat pork, and God had told him not to eat this stuff over there. And he said, no, even though I've been knocked down, even though life seems like it is gone, even though it seems like hope is gone, my hope in Christ is not. My hope in God is not. So in that moment, even though the king brought Daniel over and said, eat, drink, and be merry, Daniel said, no, we'll serve you. We'll do what we're told to do, but we're going to continue to follow God. Just give us vegetables and water. Again, I'm really glad we live in New Testament times. But anyway, he said, let's do that. And the guy's like, I can't, man. You'll waste away. And he goes, test us for 10 days and see that we're not stronger, that we're not better than the guys who are just eating a bunch of junk. Basically, what Daniel said is, listen, my hope is not gone. My hope is still in God. And he's going to show up. Even though I've been knocked down. Even though I've been knocked down, my God is going to show up. So I'm not giving up on God. I'm getting up to my feet. I'm not giving up on God. I'm standing on my feet. That everybody else might think all hope is gone, but I don't, because I believe that God's got a good plan for me. He's got a good future for me, and he's got a good future for my nation, and he's got a good future for my people, and he's got a good future for my friends. So while everybody else might have got knocked down, I got knocked down, but I'm getting up and standing on Christ. That holds true today. Right now, no matter what is going on in your life, whether it's a family situation, whether it's a marriage situation, whether it's a relationship situation, whether it's a financial situation, a health situation, whatever it might be that's going on, God is still in control. You are still his creation, and he wants you to be and to live as his daughter or his son, and he's got some good things in store for you. So all hope is not gone. So get up and stand up, knowing that you can build your life upon God. All right? But I got to go a step further, because I know that some of us, but others of us were struggling, and it's not because all hope is gone, not because we've gotten knocked down. We might be struggling because we've made a decision to bow down. See, some of us need to stand up because we've been knocked down. Others of us need to stand up because we've been told to bow down, or we've chosen to bow down. Let me go further in the story. See, what happened is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all became leaders in this community. All right, they were all following God. And there was a bunch of other people that didn't like the fact that these leaders were following God. So they tried to trap them, and they tried to trick them at different times. And one way that they tried to trap Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is they decided that Nebuchadnezzar should have a gold statue. And as Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king, he built this gold statue to represent himself as not just king, but as deity, as a god. And he told everybody that whenever you hear music played, what I want you to do is bow down to the gold statue and show your allegiance to me as your god. So everybody would do that, but when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego heard the music, they're like, I ain't bowing. You bow? No, I ain't bowing. Good, because we're not bowing. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had made a decision. We will bow to God, but no other deity. We will bow to God, but no other idol. We will bow to God, but nothing else in life that is trying to replace God. So sure enough, the music played. They didn't bow. Some people ran to the king. They said, hey, your leaders, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not bowing down. They're not following your edict. So Nebuchadnezzar brought them in and was like, all right, guys, maybe you didn't understand what I asked you to do. When you hear the music play, just bow down. It's that simple. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you can say whatever you want, king. We're not bowing down. You can tell us to bow down, but we're not going to bow down. Look at the actual words. It says it this way. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you. But even if he doesn't, like, I know the rules are that if we don't bow down, you're going to throw us into a furnace. But if you choose to do that, our God is able to save us. That we have so much faith in our God that we believe that he'll save us from that torture that you have in store for us. But even if he doesn't, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down. It's not going to happen. We're going to place our faith in God, and it doesn't matter because we have made a decision that I'm not going to bow down because my allegiance is to God and God alone. What happens when you're faced with the same decision? What happens when you're told you can't worship God? And I know that maybe you've never been faced with that, but it does happen. I have a friend who's a pastor in LA right now. I go to a conference with him every year. And in LA or in California, the governor has said that as churches, exact language, churches can gather, but they're not allowed to sing. Yeah, I can see on some of your faces, you're like, what? Churches can gather, but they're not allowed to worship. And my friend, who's a pastor in L.A., and he did it in a respectful way, kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego still said, Your Majesty. They still respected the king, but said, we're not going to bow down. And the same thing happened with my friend in L.A. He said, Governor, you can say whatever you want, but when we gather, we're going to sing because we're not going to allow a rock to do the job that we're created to do. That we are created to worship God. So when you're told you're not allowed to worship God, are you going to shrink back and bow down? Or are you going to stand, oh, I love it. You talking back to me today. But here's reality. Let's just be honest. Most of us are never going to be faced with that decision. All right? People in the Middle East, they're faced with that. Those who surrender to Jesus Christ. Man, they're faced with the decision, if I choose to worship Jesus, there's a good chance I'll die. But they place their faith in Christ. I have some, like I said, some friends in California who are making statements right now saying, no, we're going to worship. But chances are we're not going to have to be faced with that. Yet how many times do we still bow down by not standing up? It's going to get real for a second. I mean, how many times do you find yourself at work and you're like, man, I'd love to tell this person about Jesus, but if I tell this person about Jesus, they're going to think about me differently, and it might mess up our friendship at work, so never mind, I'll just not stand up for Christ in this moment. I'm roommates with some of my friends at college, and they're stepping into some decisions right now that I know are not good for them. And I know it's not godly, and I should speak up. I should speak truth in grace, but I should speak truth in grace. And when I do so, I should say something. But if I do, it's going to mess up our friendship. So rather than messing up our friendships, I just take a step back. Man, I want to say some things to the guys on my team because of the way they're talking in the locker room. But if I do, man, they're just going to make fun of me. So instead of standing up, I'll bow. I could talk about God's word, but if I talk about God's word, then they're gonna think I'm intolerant. They're gonna think that I don't understand. I'm gonna. So I'll just back away. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we might not be told to bow down in front of a gold statue, but how many times do we bow down by not standing up? See, Daniel's story goes another step further. It was later in his life. A new king was reigning at the time, and some people were upset with Daniel still because of the way that he followed God. So some other leaders said, we want to get Daniel out of office. And so they had the king put in an edict that basically said, for the next 30 days, you can't pray to anybody other than King Darius. And if you pray to anybody other than King Darius, then you get thrown into a lion's den. Well, Daniel heard this edict, and when he heard this edict, it says that he went home. And if you can imagine, he went home. Maybe he was upset about what he heard, and he went home. But when he went home, he decided to make a stand and to pray. And he didn't go to his closet. He didn't go to the back corner. He didn't hide out. He didn't get out of the view of the cameras. No, what he did is he knelt down right in front of his window, where he always did, where everybody could see. He bowed down before his God, and he prayed to God rather than Darius. When given an opportunity, it would have been easy. I want you to make sure you understand this. It would have been so easy for him to go. It would have been so easy for him to go to his bedroom and pray. He still could have worshiped God. But he said, I am going to stand for my king by bowing down before him. And he bowed down before his king, God. And by doing so, got thrown into a lion's den. And even as he got thrown into a lion's den, Darius, as he's thrown him in, the king, as he's thrown him in, says, Daniel, may the God whom you faithfully serve protect you. And what's crazy is the next morning, Darius ran out to the lion's den, and he's like, Daniel, are you alive? And Daniel says, yep, I'm still standing. I think there's a song like that. Yes, you guys are awesome, okay? Anyway, do you get it? Like, Daniel's still standing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they got thrown into a fire. And when they got thrown into the fire, Nebuchadnezzar threw them in, and he saw three guys in there. But as he's looking, he's like, wait, there's a fourth. I only threw three guys into the fire. Why is there a fourth? And the fourth looks like a son of man. And then Nebuchadnezzar yelled out to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said, it looks like you got God with you. Guys, come out. Are you alive? And they're like, yep, I'm still standing. I'm still standing. And when that happened, Nebuchadnezzar said, everybody worship their God, because their God is the God that saves. See, do you get it? When we shrink back, when we bow down to false idols in our life, when we bow down to ourselves, when we don't bow down to God and we shrink back from the opportunity of bowing down to him, what we do is, one, we deny God. We strip ourselves of life, but we also keep other people from having the opportunity to connect with Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, started following God because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worshiped God. Darius started following God. He made a decree for the whole country, follow the God of Daniel, because his God saves. When you take a stand in truth and grace, you got to do it in both ways. What you do is you help others find life again. You help others realize not all hope is lost. So stand when you get knocked down. Stand when you're told to bow down. And then lastly, I would say this, stand when you've made a choice to lay down. Stand when you've laid down. And what I mean by that is when you've laid down your character. When you've laid down your integrity, when you've laid down and sinned. And if we're honest, we've all done that. We've all taken steps. We've all made mistakes. We've all stepped into sin. The Bible says that each and every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done it. But through Christ, he forgives. And when you recognize Christ as your Savior, he forgives you of that sin. He takes the weight of that sin off and he helps you to stand back up. But then again, unfortunately, for all of us, what we end up doing is we stand up and we have Christ, but we still step into sin. See, King Nebuchadnezzar, he turned to God. I mean, this is a Babylonian king who was considered God, who said, nope, that's the true God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he worshiped God. He surrendered to God. It's a beautiful thing. Except later in his life, he stepped back into sin and he laid down his character and his integrity and his morals. See, he had this dream, and this dream was a weird dream I won't get into, but it freaked him out, so he called for Daniel. He said, Daniel, tell me what this dream is about. And Daniel's like, King, I wish it was about somebody else. Honestly, I wish it was. I wish it was about somebody else, but I wish it was about one of your enemies, but it's not. It's about you. And the problem is that you've allowed sin into your life, and you need to quit sinning. And if you do, maybe God will relent. Look at Daniel's words. He said it this way. He said, King Nebuchadnezzar, please, please accept my advice. Stop sinning. Stop sinning and do what is right. Guys, this isn't rocket science. It's not. Like this whole walking with the Lord, it's not rocket science. Put your faith in Jesus because he can forgive you of your sin. And then as you walk with Jesus, stop sinning. Start just doing what's right. Start going, all right, Lord, I want to do what you're asking me to do. What Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar is he said, stop sinning and do what is right. And then maybe God will show mercy to you. Because as of right now, you've laid down your character. You told the world that you were following God, but then you laid down your character. You laid down your integrity. You laid down your morals rather than walking with God. And when Nebuchadnezzar heard this, you know what he could have done? He could have stopped sinning. But instead, he kept walking that path. It says a little bit later, one night, he was standing out on his balcony looking over his kingdom, and he said, look at everything I have built and any splendor. He took praise that should have been given to God, and he put it on himself, and immediately God judged him. He was stripped of his kingdom. He was taken out of the palace. He lived out in the fields for so long that his hair grew so long it was like feathers. His nails grew like eagle's claws. He slept on the ground with the dew of heaven on him. That he got stripped of everything. And then finally, one day, as he's laying on the ground, it says he looks up to heaven and he repents. He says, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to think different. And he stood up. He stood up because he realized in that moment, I have been building my life on the wrong thing, and it's time to start building my life on God again. So in that moment, he stood up and he found the grace of God, and God put him back in the palace and he built his kingdom even bigger. And so this is what I want to say to you as we wrap up, is that maybe this is where you find yourself. Maybe you've laid down and you find yourself in sin and you recognize that sin only brings death. But in Christ, Christ brings life. In Christ, there is hope. In Christ, you can stand again. In Christ, you can live again. In Christ, you can breathe again. That you don't have to recognize life as a death trap. You don't have to go through life and feel like there's no hope. That you can turn your life over to Christ. You can build your life on him. And as you do so, you can recognize that, man, I can live again. And I can breathe again. And I can stand again. So what would it look like today if each and every one of us here and online made a decision to build our lives on Christ? What would it look like if each and every one of us said, you know what? I'm going to stand today. That man, life has knocked me down. But all hope is not gone, because I can stand on Christ and I'm going to build my life on him. I'm not giving up. I'm standing up. That I've been bowing down recently. I haven't been standing on truth. I haven't been standing on grace. I've been bowing down. I haven't been speaking up when been given the opportunity. I'm not bringing other people into a relationship with Christ because I've cowered to my own desires. What would it look like if we made a decision to stand up today? And to say, man, I'm going to stand up for Christ throughout my life because he's a God who saves. And even if it goes wrong in the moment, I'm okay with that. Because I'm not going to bow down to you anymore. I'm going to stay committed to my Lord. And I'm going to speak on his behalf. Because I know that's what will give me hope, and it's what will possibly give somebody else hope. And maybe today it's like it's time to stand up because I've laid down my character. I've laid down my integrity. I've laid down my morals. And I'm done doing that. That I'm finding my hope in Christ, and I'm going to stand on him, and I'm going to build my life on him. What would it look like today if you made a decision to say, life isn't over. I can live again. That hope is not gone. I can breathe again. That I'm not done because I can stand again in Christ. I can stand in him. So we're gonna sing this song. It's all about building our life on Christ. And I just want to challenge you to make a commitment in one of those areas. If there's one of those areas that you're struggling, say, I'm standing. I'm standing even though I got knocked down. I'm standing even though I've been bowing down. I'm standing. I'm standing even though I laid it down. Maybe the best way to stand today is to lay down before the Lord. Maybe the best way to stand today is to kneel down before God. Maybe the best thing to do is to recognize God as King and just to get on your knees and to bow down before him. Because he's the only one worthy to be bowed down in front of. Maybe you want to come up and take communion this morning. It's on the front of the stage. And as you do that, you just bow down and you say, God, you're the one that is worthy of worship. And because I bow before you, I can stand all day long. Maybe you need to surrender your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. I want you to say a prayer, but I don't want you to keep it private. I want you to go public. I want you to come to the Connect Corner. Maybe you want to get baptized. Maybe you want to stand in the newness of life. Whatever you need to do today, let's stand together in Christ, because that's where we find hope, that's where we find breath, and that's where we find life. Will you build your life on Christ? Won't you go ahead and do me a favor? Let's go ahead and stand right now. And don't just do it because we're standing at the end of service. It's a time of response. Mentally, figuratively, as you're on your feet right now, say, I am standing on the foundation of Jesus, because this is how I'm going to build my life. Let's spend some time responding.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.